The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. For now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a better way. There's a better way. There's a better way. We enter into a four-part series, 4 weeks. We're together, journeying together with the help of the Holy Spirit. We let this theme echo in our heart. There's a better way. I don't know if you've ever experienced in your life some of those moments. I'll share with you a few of my own. But where you're kind of like doing something, right? And in your heart and your head, you're like, there's a better way. You know what I'm talking about? Like when I remember when I was a young adult, I'd order some of that stuff online. It'd come in and you'd get that like shelf or desk you had to build, right? That had like 150 parts to it. You know what I'm saying? Like side A, side B, side. Then you put it together and you put it like wrong, backwards, and you had to flip it back around. And in your head, you're like, there's a better way. Or when you find yourself, and we can all find it, you find yourself at work, right? In those kind of like group dynamics, team dynamics, and you're trying to build team and you're with people and you're like, there's a better way. Or you may find yourself on your sport team or in drama at school or with your friends or even doing your homework or in class and you're kind of like, there's a better way. But when we look at the gospel today, it speaks volumes of that there's a better way, and we know who is the way. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now, we have a story of fishermen, and we have a story of the gospel and what's going on, and maybe some of you out there like to fish, but I know when I was a little boy, I loved to fish. And we lived on a lake in Atlanta, Georgia, a small little lake. You could only take a canoe on it, and I'd go out there before the day started, and I could see up the road 3 bus stops. It was awesome. And so I'd get up early in the morning, I'd go out, and I'd stand on this stump, and I'd cast my line to catch some fish. I'd catch them. I'd throw them back in, then I'd see the bus, I'd go wash my hands, grab my books, and get to the bus stop. It was awesome. Well, one day I was fishing, and I had, maybe you've seen this, you like to fish. It was called a jitterbug. It had a little spoon on the front and had two three-prong hooks. It's awesome. I love to see the little ones. They're like locked on, like, wow! You can see they're in their eyes. They're like listening, right? So 3-prong hooks, and it was like fluorescent green with like pink and yellow and orange and all these colors. Pretty ugly in the way, but it attracted the fish. So I remember getting on that stump one day, and I was there casting. I went to cast it, and it went wham, and just pegged me in the head and got stuck in my head. And I'm like, in my heart, I'm like, there's got to be a better way. You know? So then I had to go to my mom. I missed the bus, and we get in the car, and traffic in Atlanta, Georgia, we're driving along, and everybody's kind of looking at it. My mom's got to be thinking, there's got to be a better way to raise my son. But anyways, the hook got out and everything. But that was just a simple life experience of me. But what we see in the gospel of today is we see Jesus, the way, coming and stepping in the boat of Peter. But let's get real about the gospel and kind of do our best with the help of God's grace to relate it to our life. Peter said, we've been fishing all night. And the reason why I got up and fished early in the morning, because the time you caught fish was when the sun was going down or when the sun was coming up, and you fished at night, especially during the time of Jesus, because the seas were calm. They got stirred up during the day, and the boats were about the size, a little smaller than a school bus. School bus is about 37 feet long. A big U-Haul moving truck is about 27 feet long, and they're right in the middle of those. And it could seat 15 people, but it was a little wobbly. And so they would fish at night, and they put the candles on the side of the boats because the light, even to this day, attracts the fish. And they actually used a type of net that was made of a different type of material other than the fishing lines that become invisible that we put in the water. So they fished at night because, in a way, the fish wouldn't see the nets hit the water. And so they fished at night to catch fish. And they also fished closer to the shore and not out in the deep. And so that gives us a little background on this encounter with Jesus in the life of Peter. Okay? He was tired. They fished all night long, caught nothing. They were in the middle of cleaning their nets, and his boat was clean, and he was ready with a hungry stomach to go get his Bojangles biscuit. Chicken biscuit, of course. I think they had that back then. Probably not. Now I really got the attention of the little ones. How about Dunkin' Donuts, eh? It's all right. We can speak your language. So he was done. And all of a sudden, here comes this preacher man that his brother Andrew's talking about, who's a carpenter, by the way, not from the seaside, but from Nazareth. And as Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he steps in Peter's boat. Now, I don't know about you, but I had an encounter similar like that when I was in the seminary. You see, I was given the housework of cleaning the stairs. And I took pride in that linoleum and how shiny it was. And I remember once I was cleaning, and all of a sudden a couple of seminarians had to step over me and on my clean linoleum to get up the... I'm like, what are you doing? And in my heart, this rumbling of, what's he doing stepping on my clean linoleum? That's my housework. And I took pride in it. So maybe, just maybe, and I could be wrong, that could have been a little bit in Peter's heart. So he steps in his clean boat and he says, push out a little from the shore. And he's like, I can do that. You already got my boat dirty. And he pushes out and he looks out and he basically says, starts preaching. The word is eternal. The voice may change. We had the deacon proclaim it. We had our readers that proclaim it every week. You proclaim it to your children at home. You read it in the silence of your mornings and your evenings. You carry it in your heart. The word is the same, speaking to us as the word that spoke to Isaiah in the first reading. The voice that said, who go? And he said, I'll go. Here I am. That word is eternal. And the eternal word had a voice, had flesh, and was speaking to the people on the shoreline and touched Peter's heart. Jesus knew he was ready. He's patient. As he knows in our daily life, he knows when to step in our boat and when to invite us to push out to the deep. And he said, push out to the deep. He was done preaching. He was hoping that his word fell on fertile ground in his heart and that Peter would muster up enough trust in him to do what he wanted him to do. But Jesus wasn't going to work that miracle without Peter collaborating with him. He said, push out into the deep. Imagine the look in Jesus' eyes, the trust in Jesus' eyes. Say, Peter, just trust in me. This miracle is not just going to be for you and the people on the shore. It's going to be for the people in Charlotte, North Carolina in 2022 who are gathering at Mass or who open their scripture wherever they are in the world. Put your nets out for a catch. Now, I don't know about you, but if I worked hard in the morning and I want my Bojangles biscuit, and someone wants me to cast my nets and I got to get them dirty again, that's a hard ask for me, especially if I'm tired. Something I need to work on. But he did it. But he did it, I think, and I could be wrong, with a little bit of hesitation. Maybe this was going on in his heart. I could be wrong. St. Peter can correct me when I see him in the next life. Please don't take offense. But maybe in his heart it was, okay, carpenter, I'm the fisherman. We don't fish in the deep. We fish near the shore. We don't fish during the day. We fish at night. And my nets are going to get dirty again. They're going to get messy again. And I'm going to be late for breakfast. And I didn't catch anything anyways. And this isn't helping with my livelihood. Maybe that was going on in his heart. And the reason why I think maybe that was going on in his heart, because after that miraculous catch, he fell to his knees and said, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. In my heart, I didn't trust you. And yet you did this for me and my family, and not just for us, but all the other fishermen and everybody on the shore." It was that type of miracle that gave Peter the strength in his heart to not only say in his heart, there's a better way, and I'm going to follow that way. Sharing with you a little of my personal vocation story, I had a similar experience with water and a boat, but it was right outside of New York City. It was the Hudson River, and it was the Weehawken Ferry. I was going into the city for work. Had a great job, making a lot of money as a young adult, 27, 28 years old. Doing really well. But I knew in my heart, Jesus was asking something more than just build a shelf or build a desk with all the parts and to find a better way. But he knew that he had a better way in mind for me, which my way is Jesus' way and your way is Jesus' way. Whatever he's calling you to. Not the same things. But I remember riding that ferry in the silence, hearing the waters hit the boat and looking up to the skyline and saying, who built those buildings? And where are they now? What is the meaning of life? And I believe in great saints like St. John Paul II, who in the Jubilee year cried out to the whole church with the theme, Duke in Altum, put out to the deep. Do not be afraid, he said in 1978. Do not be afraid to open your hearts wide to Jesus Christ. Pope Benedict Emeritus said, do not be afraid to open your hearts wide to Jesus Christ. He takes nothing away and he gives you everything. Do not be afraid to put out in the deep, St. John Paul II said. And he lived that. Because when he was a 20-year-old, he had already lost his brother, lost his mom, lost his dad during the war, and he was an orphan. And he chose the path of love. He's the one who said, when an evil goes away, if love doesn't takes its place, another evil will come. And see, his yes, in his ability to truly answer the question in his heart, there's another way, and to find it, he impacted countless others, and many of us are sitting here now. And even the little ones probably don't even know how he impacted the generations before us. I'll close with a simple story of a young lady who was coming from Germany, and she was on a train after having been at a vigil with St. John Paul II in St. Peter's Square, and she was packed in a train with two seminarians that I was friends with, and they're all packed in, and they couldn't help but look at each other and talk. She knew English. And they just said to her, where are you from? And she said, Germany. She said, why are you here? She said, I don't know. I'm not even Catholic. I'm not even Christian, but I found myself on a visit to Rome, and I was in St. Peter's Square, and I was way back by the Tiber River, and I could see Pope John Paul II on the huge screen, and when he spoke, I knew that he loved me. When he spoke, I knew that he loved me. And there's a better way. And there's a better way. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we know who is the way. We know who calls us to push out in the deep. Here's my invitation. It's simple. This week, let's just pray for each other. That's it. Let's just pray for each other that each one of us will discover the desire to desire to follow Jesus. Because truly, there's a better way.